One of the greatest men in history has got to be the Bible's patriarch, Abraham. Three religions look to him as their spiritual beginner: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Christians view him as the father of all that believe, Romans chapter 4 and verse 11. And what's noteworthy about Abraham was his faith. Paul made reference to his faith time and time again in passages like Romans chapter 4, verses 3 through verse 22, Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Excuse me. James used this example to illustrate a saving faith in James 2, verses 21 through 23. Both Paul and James make a reference to the following Old Testament statement about Abraham's faith. And they reference Genesis 15 and verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Paul in Romans 4 and verse 3, and James in chapter 2 and verse 23. What is it about Abraham's faith that pleased God so much or so well? And do we have the same kind of faith that Abraham had? I want to take a closer look today at the faith of Abraham. When we look at Abraham's faith, it was based on God's revelation. Not in the sense that we have revelation of God's word today, because God himself revealed his revelation to Abraham almost face to face or in person. In Ur of the Chaldees, according to Acts 7 and Genesis 15 verse 7, when he was at Haran of Mesopotamia, we see in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, as he made the three promises there to Abraham. Later on in chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, we see that God revealed himself at Shechem in Canaan. And later, after Lot had moved to Sodom, God revealed himself about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 13. And there were several other times that God would reveal himself to Abraham in Genesis 15, 17, 18, and 22. So by revealing himself to Abraham, God provided Abraham with more than enough evidence for him to place his faith and trust in God. Our faith must be based upon revelation as well. Not that God's going to reveal himself to us today, as he did with Abraham, but our faith comes through the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. And it contains evidence that we might believe, John 20, verses 30 and 31. That passage tells us that there were many other signs and wonders that Jesus did, but the ones that were recorded for those who would come later, you and I, that we might believe. And the more we read, the more we read God's Word, the more God is revealed to us, especially in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. So if we desire to have a faith like Abraham, then we have to be receptive to God's revelation of Himself through His Word. So it's important that we note that Abraham's faith was an obedient faith. It was revealed, God revealed Himself to Abraham. And because of that revelation, then Abraham had an obedient faith. The text tells us by faith, Abraham obeyed God. Hebrews 11 and verse 8 said that faith caused him to leave his country. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, verses 9 and 10, it tells us that he sojourned or traveled into a foreign land because of his faith. In Hebrews 11 and verse 17, tells us that because of his faith, he offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice. Now, if you haven't read that account, then you don't know that God sent an angel to stop Abraham from thrusting a knife through his son. But he was testing Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith was not a dead faith. James 2, verses 20 through 26 talks about our faith. But Abraham had what we would call a dynamic faith, in that it expressed itself in his obedience. So when we look at us today, we understand that by faith, we must obey God, because the gospel calls for obedience to faith. Romans 1 and verse 5, Romans 16 verses 25 and 26, and chapter 6 of Romans verse 17 tells us that we must obey from the heart the doctrine of Christ. And when you look at other passages like 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9, and 1 Peter 4 and verse 17, it talks about those who do not obey the gospel, and it gives a warning in those passages. So if we desire to have the faith of Abraham, then we have to have a faith that works through love, Galatians 5 and verse 6. Now, while works are an essential element of a saving faith, it is crucial, it is vital, it is imperative to notice that it is the faith behind the works that pleases God, and not the works per se. So here we're going to point out that Abraham's faith was a trusting faith. He trusted in God and not, or Abraham trusted in God and not his works. He didn't trust in his own works. So we go back to our text, and the text says in Genesis 15 that he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed in God. It, that is, Abraham's faith was reckoned or considered for his righteousness. And it was Abraham's faith in God that greatly pleased God. And Paul stresses this point throughout his epistle to the Romans. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, he says, "What shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." So Abraham was not justified because of his works, but Abraham was justified or declared blameless because of his faith. Now, though he had faith that worked, he didn't trust in his works. Rather, he trusted in God who justifies the ungodly. We go back to Romans chapter 4 in verses 5 through 8. And Paul writes here, "But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall impute sin." So we too, just as Abraham, must trust in Jesus and not our works. As noticed before, we must obey God, and that certainly involves a certain works. Now, such faith is a work. In John 6, verses 28 and 29, they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Believe in Jesus. And even baptism, which is more a work of God than a work of man, Colossians 2, verses 12 and 13 tells us, "Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." But when all is said and done, we must not put our trust in our obedience, as though we somehow have earned our salvation. You see, Jesus taught us to realize that we're still unworthy, Luke 17 and verse 10. And it is the faith or trust in Jesus prompting us to obey him that pleases God, not some earning or meritorious value of the work done to receive God's grace. So, the faith of Abraham was an obedient faith that placed its trust in God who justifies the ungodly. So, to be the sons of Abraham, you and I must have the same kind of faith. So, finally, we need to observe that Abraham's faith was a growing faith. Abraham continued to grow in his faith from the time that God called him. Oh, there were times when his faith was weak, just like ours will be weak from time to time. He had Sarah, his wife, tell a half-truth to save their lives in Genesis 12 and again in Genesis 20. He questioned God when he and Sarah did not have children as God had promised, Genesis 15. And in Genesis 16, he showed his faith to be weak in the case of Hagar. And then in Genesis 17, verses 17 and 18, he offered an alternative to God when he thought it would be impossible for he and Sarah to have children. But God was patient with Abraham. And because God was patient with Abraham, Abraham's faith grew. He had faith, even against hope, and was able to conceive a child. Paul tells us that in Romans 4. He had faith that God could raise Isaac from the dead and was therefore willing to offer him as a sacrifice, just as God had told us. Faith's Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that in verses 17 through 19. You see, the faith of Abraham was not a static faith. It wasn't spotty or erratic, come and go, ebb and flow. It was an ever-growing faith that came through being a friend of God. At least that's what James 2 and verse 23 tells us. So how does that apply to us? Well, we have to grow in our faith, just as the apostles of Christ did. From men who had little faith and were easily afraid in such cases as Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 14, to being men of great boldness, according to Acts 4 and verse 13. Peter said in the book of Acts, when brought before the Sanhedrin, we cannot but preach the things that we have seen and heard. We need to be like the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Their faith was growing exceedingly, Paul says. You know what? Our faith needs to be the same. Our faith needs to grow just as theirs did. And our faith will grow if we are willing to walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had. That's what Paul tells us in Romans 4 and verse 12. Now from this lesson, we've seen that the faith of Abraham was based upon revelation. It was an obedient faith, a trusting faith, and a growing faith. So why do we need this same kind of faith today? Well, Paul writes in Galatians 3 and verse 7 that it's because those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And he tells us two verses later in Galatians 3 and verse 9 that it's because those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So today, those who have the faith of Abraham are truly the recipients of the promise that was made to Abraham in Genesis 18 and verse 18, where God said, "In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." Simple question to close out this lesson. Are we walking in the steps of the faith of Abraham? Are we obeying the word of God given today through the gospel of Christ, even as Abraham obeyed the word that was given him? I appreciate you listening today. It may be, again, that you don't agree with this lesson. If you do not and you would wish to speak with me, you can look me up on Facebook. You can look me up on the church's website. You can leave a message there. Or you can email me through the church's website. That's church@eastside.com. If you'd like to listen to this lesson or past lessons, you can go to the church's website there. Again, that's church@eastside.com. And while you're there, you can find the times of our services. We'll meet at 9 a.m. this morning for Bible study, 10 a.m. for worship service, and again, 5 p.m. this evening for another period of worship. And we'll have a midweek Bible study on Wednesday at 7 p.m. We do have a special series of lessons coming up the end of this month. That'll be June the 26th through the 29th. Monday through Wednesday will be 7 p.m. each night if you'd like to join us. Again, thank you for being with me. (Clears throat)